So I went in with all of my musical knowledge and I was like, I'm going to do this presentation all about one specific song, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys, and why I think it's the best song written in the last 50 to 60 years. And here's why.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Lauren.
Oh, hi.
Super excited to have you here.
I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. Let's start out. Tell us who you are and why you're here.
Well, my name is Lauren Mixter. And
oh, such a familiar last name.
Yes, you would think. You've never heard that name before. But I am the event coordinator at Configura, and I also happen to be married to one of the co-hosts. I'll let the audience guess which one.
Yeah, you and Audrey's wedding was quite beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was moving and sentimental.
Yeah, and like we decided...
Full of musical theater references.
Oh, so many, so many. And then we were like, you know what? Let's not share a last name, though. You should have Adam's last name.
I should take Adam's last name.
Just to throw people off.
And definitely have that last name before I even meet you.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. So,
I mean, why change it?
Why? Let's just make it and leave it super confusing.
So besides being married to the co-host of this podcast, why are you here?
I am here today.
Yeah, this isn't just nepotism here.
To talk about our upcoming user conference experience. Mm-hmm. Which is very exciting. We're getting into the thick of it now. So I happen to manage the events or the North American events at Configura. So that includes our largest user conference, which is Experience, but also includes things like our trade shows, some customer and partner meetings and summits that we have as well. Every event that we do is a little bit different, but overall, I handle the planning, the logistics, kind of like from start to finish. The budget, all the scheduling, the vendor coordination, all the minutiae details that you wouldn't really think about. Yeah, that's me. I'm over here thinking about it, waking up at 11 p.m. saying, oh my gosh, did I order this?
Yeah, I feel like I mean, there are things in which I can get, you know, super into details and whatever, but I feel like with events, there's so many more, like there's so much you have to hold in your mind at once.
It is a lot. That's something I've been trying to work on because I do know that I have a lot inside of my brain, which is crazy to think that I have all of this knowledge, like that everyone else, I'm like, oh, it's this thing. And they're like, wait, what? What does that mean?
So transparency
it's
bias.
A lot of like small, tiny details that you wouldn't really even have to think about normally. There's this kind of a mix of like the big picture vision involved in there as well. But yeah, I'm trying to kind of disseminate the information. Right now it's just me, you know, I'm the only event coordinator here. So it's a lot of those things, but I mean, it makes it easy when you love it and I, you know, love what I do. So
you didn't start out in as event coordinator.
I did not. That's a fun story.
Sure.
I actually started out as a user trainer here at Configura. And the reason I got the job is because of my wife, Audrey.
Yeah, that's actually
true.
It wasn't because of anybody else in this room. It literally was because of Audrey.
It was because of Audrey. All wife jokes aside. No, I met Audrey at an event that Configura had right after Adam started, and we clicked instantly. And I know that you guys had kind of talked about this before, you know, our love of musicals and all that good stuff. And we became friends. And when she was transitioning into her new job for UI UX, she was looking, you know, kind of for a replacement. And there was a post and she messaged me and she was like, I really think you should apply for this. And I was like, really? You think I should apply for this very highly technical job of teaching your software to people? And at the time, I was running the education department for a local community theater. And I have been an educator. I was a choir and drama teacher for about 6 years. And I love all things education, but I had never done that specific type of education before.
It's a completely different ballgame.
I mean, I can teach anything to anyone, right? Because once you can teach anything. But I was like, oh, okay, we'll see. So I kind of applied and thought, well, we'll see what happens. And, you know, and Adam was cool with the possibility of, you know, us working at the same company. And, you know, I got the interviews and I went through the whole process. And they were like, she's kind of a risky hire maybe because she doesn't know the software, but we like her. And they gave me a job and I kind of got fast-tracked into it. And just a plug for training, because I actually do really love it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's super important. And it is part of what we do with experience anyway. But speaking as somebody who had absolutely zero industry knowledge and no CET knowledge, knew absolutely nothing walking in the door, I picked up the software and was able to teach it at an advanced level within like 9 months. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's not a testament to me necessarily. That's not like a humble brag. That's a testament, I think, to our software. The fact that it's so intuitive and that you can sit down and take the time to learn these little minutia things that you wouldn't necessarily think about in a way that makes life easier and keeps it entertaining and keeps it fun.
Yeah.
And also, I think a testament to the training, because when you start as a trainer, even if you do know the software, you take the training.
Yes, multiple times. And yeah.
From different trainers.
Yeah,
as well.
I took the training with you for my mm-hmm. beginner class. And I think I took the intermediate with Sierra, who no longer is here, but she works with one of our partners, mm-hmm. Platinum Edge. And I took my advanced, you know, with Rachel. And such a great group of people. I made it my mission to kind of watch little snippets of everybody's training mm-hmm. to kind of see how everyone teaches and the little things that they did that I was like, oh, I like that. I should do that in my training, because you kind of create your own flow mm-hmm. as you're going into it. So yeah, I think that we have a really great training team to this day. So mm-hmm. that's just my little, like, I love training.
Yeah, I also have to say, I started at Configure with no CET knowledge either. I had a background in interior design, but didn't know CET, didn't really know commercial interiors, just sort of like generic, general, kind of more residential and like, yeah, concepts, whatever. Anyways, but yeah, you applied and I was like, that would be so fun for her to work here, but I don't know. Like it is like niche.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll give her the job, but you did your, mock presentation.
I did too. I mean, I knew you would be good.
I gotta segue before you guys do, because nobody knows what you guys are talking about with this mock presentation thing. It's the last step to become a trainer.
It's the last step
of our interview process.
So basically you have to go in with like a small prepared presentation. It can be about anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be related to the industry or CET or anything like that. And so I went in with all of my musical knowledge and I was like, I'm going to do this presentation all about one specific song, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys, and why I think it's the best song written in the last 50 to 60 years. And here's why. And I think I crushed it personally. I remember practicing my presentation on Adam. Mm. And he was like, okay, you have to memorize the entire presentation because they're going to be like making sure that you know this content, like know how to teach. So he was so like rigid about it as I was like doing my practice like to him, because you have to speak it out loud so that you like feel comfortable with the content, that he was like and stare into the camera the entire time on your laptop. And so I memorized the entire thing, like my button clicks, because I had things synced up with like parts of the music, because I embedded music and like all this other stuff and like different animations that came through. And he made me memorize this thing. So I stared at the camera the entire time. And I remember one of the questions that Rachel asked me was, did you memorize? And I was like, yes, I did. I memorized the presentation. And she's like, you know that they don't see our faces when we do training, right? Because it's virtual. And I was like, I did not know that. And apparently neither did Adam.
I can't wait. I cannot wait personally until Rachel, my employee now, or my direct report, I should say, who listens to this podcast and finds out that, in fact, I was the one that had convinced her she needed to memorize.
Because later on,
I didn't know what she was doing in training.
Later on in like, as I'm going through training, they were like, yeah, you can have like little notes and stuff like on the side, because mm-hmm. you'll have multiple monitors and things like that. And I was like, so you're saying I don't need to memorize verbatim every single thing that I have to say?
So you're saying I worked way too hard on this.
I worked way too hard, but I guess I really wanted the job. So it worked out.
And you got it. I was going to say, like, seriously, your presentation blew me away. I don't really care for the Beach Boys, never really have. I'm like, they're just cheesy, whatever.
But you should.
But I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go and listen to this song. And I did. And I actually like it. And I was like, I mean, I was convinced. You had me convinced.
It's a good song. I tell everybody, I'm like, give me 7 minutes of your life and I will make you love this song.
I mean, it actually worked on me. I didn't really super love Good Vibrations. And before Lauren and I started dating, I didn't really respect the Beach Boys all that much. Mm-hmm. I actually, my favorite Beatles song was at that point, back in the USSR, because I thought it was so funny they were making fun of the Beach Boys, only to learn later on that, in fact, they were not making fun of them.
No.
They were jealous of how good they were.
Oh.
Paul McCartney famously has said multiple times that he thought that the Beach Boys were amazing. And that he thought that Pet Sounds, which is the album, this is some music history knowledge, everybody, coming in. But Pet Sounds is the album that Good Vibrations was on. And Paul McCartney has been quoted multiple times as saying that God Only Knows, which is another song from that album, is his favorite song of all time. And he thinks the best written song of all time. Paul McCartney, the man that wrote Let It Be, says that that song.
Yeah, Blackbird.
Yeah, is the greatest song and the best written song of all time. Like, I was like, dang, I really got to listen to the Beach Boys. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So anyway, so we got on a tangent and somehow talk about the Beach Boys.
Sorry.
What? The three of us got sidetracked?
No, never. But I am dying for the audience to know, how does one go from training and memorizing Beach Boys to... planning an incredibly large 500 plus person conference?
That's a great question. Well, I think first is, I think I've always really had a passion for creating things and for creating experiences, whether it was in music, being like a choir director, whether it was in drama, being a director for multiple shows, whether it was a musical or just a play. And I think that that naturally kind of segued into events. But really, I think truly, as I started during my first year, it's just about my 4-year anniversary coming up next week. Mm-hmm. And which is crazy to think about. But as I started, we were kind of in this time period. And Kelsey DeBruin was the boss at the time. And she was like kind of in the thick of planning for experience. And I was like, hey, could you use some help? Like, you look stressed. Can I help you with this stuff? And she was like, yes, absolutely. And
she's like, here, I have your tasks prepared that I was going to hand off to you anyway.
I think she saw something in me, and I then volunteered to help out. And she gave me the evening events. So she basically handed me, okay, we need to plan all of these small welcome events. And then we also have this party that we do as well. And I was like, okay, got it. So I started looking into stuff and planned a bunch of things. And then somewhere in the middle, I had to leave for about 12 to 14 weeks because I had a baby. And I came back right before we started with experience in about September. And we were like, nose to the ground, head in, let's do it. And she just kind of entrusted me with this thing. And we planned this really cool Halloween party. And
it was so fun.
It was so fun.
It was a good one. Yeah.
It was so much fun.
My favorite costume there, and I think they won because I think there was a competition.
There was a competition.
There were 3 or 4 different people, all from the same dealership, and they had white t-shirts with the logos of our different products, like one CT, one spec. And then they had like sweatband, headband thingies, and they
were running,
CET. Ran around. Yeah. And it said like updates or something.
It was great.
And it was, and so they were running updates. That was their costume.
That they
it was amazing.
Won, like best group or.
Yeah. Something
they
like won, that.
They did, I don't remember anymore because it was like 3 years ago, but they did win. And there was a lot of really great costumes.
There was.
Yeah.
For that
My personal favorite.
Dumb and Dumber was great.
The Dumb and Dumber people. Oh. They actually dressed up as the two characters from Dumb and Dumber with the orange tuxedo and the blue tuxedo.
It was
and
awesome.
I was just blown away because I just thought it was just fantastic.
I think they won first place.
Maybe.
If I'm remembering correctly, but they were super cool. So yeah, I helped out with that, and during the event, I was kind of the right hand to Kelsey, and I was like, oh, I really like this. Like, and I actually was like, I'm actually really am good at this, too, because it combined a lot of my skills coming from, like, the theater world, which is basically being able to be backstage or, you know, be to the side and watch the action, but see everything that might need to be done. Mm-hmm. And I also have kind of this unique quality about me to be able to remain calm under pressure and to not freak out and panic in a lot of situations, which I also very much attribute to my theater success. And just like my theater background. And I'm also like a pretty organized person in general. So I think that there's a huge part of organization that goes into it. But I think there's a lot of pieces and parts that just made sense for me as a person. And I just kind of lucked into it in a lot of ways by volunteering. And Kelsey was like, we've been looking for somebody to do this. And I really think that you have what we need. And the rest is kind of history. I became the event coordinator.
I love it. You talked earlier about, you know, kind of having the vision or the goal for the event. Yeah. What is the vision?
So the overall vision and the overall purpose for Experience is basically designed to educate, to inspire, to connect to the community. It's a community event. It's where we give back to all of our users, the engineers, the technical professionals, the partners, and even configurants who attend the event. So that we can kind of together create, together explore what our softwares can do and the platform as a whole. Really, we want our users to grow. We want them to come in and get some knowledge and some training. It's a peer-to-peer learning conference, which means that they're learning from their peers. Most of our breakout sessions are led by users within the community already. Mm-hmm. And for those that aren't aware, just like a little education theory, peer-to-peer learning and peer-to-peer knowledge is the most true and sincerest form of knowledge that you can gain. Because this is somebody who does your job.
Yeah.
They understand the struggles that you go through. They understand maybe what your day-to-day looks like in a way that somebody like I would not, right? So they're getting this as a firsthand knowledge. So people who are attending that are much more likely to take that information and turn it into action, which is part of the reason why it's designed this way. We really encourage people to come in and share their knowledge because it's even more impactful in those situations like that. We also really promote a lot of hands-on learning. Things like our workshops that we've really been dedicated to adding in and making even more in-depth to get people that one-to-one that they're looking for, especially with our configurant instructors. And this year we've brought in, you know, some people who are not configurants to do those workshops. I'm very excited about that piece so that we can see kind of growing.
Who are the non-configurants who are doing workshops?
So we have four users who have actually got workshops that they're going to be running this year for us. One is Jennifer Burke. She's doing a session on rendering. She's from KI. The next one is Stephanie Wolfson that I wanted to mention, who did a poll on LinkedIn that hopefully you voted for if you're listening. And if you didn't, well, it's too late now. but we have a couple of topics that she wanted to hear from the user community, what they'd want to hear about. We have Caitlin Litaker, which I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. And she's doing a session on the reconfiguration tool, which I've been promoting because if you're listening to this podcast and you're a CI user, I have a guarantee that you might have an interest in the reconfiguration tool at some point in your career. And a lot of people are intimidated by it. So that's going to be a good one. And then last but certainly not least, Sydney Watkins, who we might may or may not have plans to be
we
on the podcast.
We may or may not have a recording session scheduled.
is going to be doing a session about what you do when your product that you need is not in CET. How do you get it from A to B? And also included in that, which isn't as obvious from the title, we're actually going to have a good chunk of that time be dedicated to the new material portal and how it works and like how it might integrate with your products and what you need there.
Love that.
Cool. I wanted to bring up the fact that like Audrey and I have been really trying to ensure that like our podcast, because it's the first configure podcast, doesn't turn into like a sales thing. And I don't want this episode to feel like a sales pitch for Experience, but I do think it's important because I think Lauren talked about specifically the thing that I think this podcast is about, which is connecting and connecting the community together and that sort of thing. And when we say user, we don't necessarily just mean like the end user, though. Let's be honest. Most of our attendees at this point are CI end users, but
commercial interiors.
Thank you. But the material handling community, we'd love to see there.
Absolutely.
And the developer community is also in attendance because they get knowledge from the peer-to-peer learning for one day. But the rest of the conference is basically an opportunity for them to try to get a chance to learn directly from the people they impact. Yeah. Which is awesome.
And educators are also starting to kind of be part of this well,
yeah.
Which is something that I have been passionate about as a former educator. I want people who are educators to feel empowered to come to this conference to learn as well. And I think that we've also kind of been expanding into, you know, some new types of personas that you wouldn't typically see. Some sales professionals, you know, the technical professionals that I was talking about, those are IT type people.
Yeah, I know we have... I've heard of a handful of people who are bringing their IT people and they're super excited. Yeah. They're like, you're registering, you're coming with me and you're learning some stuff.
Exactly. I think that there's so much to learn, not just for the end user, not just for the dealer designer, although this is designed for them. Kind of, it's the only conference of its type for a dealer designer. It is not uniquely just for the dealer designer. It is open to anyone in our community. And I truly think that anyone that attends sees it and understands the value once they're there.
Yeah.
That is the feedback overwhelmingly that we get is, I am so glad that I came. Mm-hmm. I understand what this is now.
And we have people who come who don't really learn anything because they've been around so long, but they still come for that community and for like the connection, and they can provide value to the others, like just by, you know, contributing in the sessions or whatever it is. Like there's just, which I just think that's really cool. Like, of course it's educational and like most people are going to learn things, but I just think it's cool that there's people who are like, yeah, this is what I do. I'm a part of this group. So
one of the things too that I've always said is live events are the new social media.
I love that.
This is how we interact with each other as a group, as a community, right? Instead of pinging each other on LinkedIn or, you know, to see what we're up to, you can get that in a very valuable way face to face. And we go out of our way to make this networking super important, especially this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do get feedback too from the users who have been around a while and feel like maybe they didn't get all the learning they wanted to. And we're actually attempting to try to bridge that gap. Especially this year, I will be doing two sessions that we're calling Nerd Alert Live, which will basically be my opportunity to go, ham, except for 2 minutes. You're going to be stuck in a room with me for 50 if you dare enter. My goal is like to actually.
It's like the extended edition of all the, like the Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
Nerd
the
Alert
goal.
Extended edition. Yeah.
Which I honestly think is hopeful. I mean, I think it's going to go over well.
Yeah.
I do have like some like insider of when I was still training. Once you learn about blocks, if you've done training, you know we talk about them blocks. And everybody loves blocks. And one of the things that I used to specifically do when I would teach blocks is say, okay, so I am married to a developer and I know a lot more about this than I probably should, but I have a lot of details and knowledge. Do you guys want to understand the functionality of blocks and like how they're created? Is that something that you're interested in? And I think 9 times out of 10, it was absolutely, yeah, I'm super interested in that.
I love it.
And so from a non-developer's perspective, I'd be like, okay, I did take notes. So like, let me read those. But I would give them kind of the ins and outs. So I do think that our community does want that knowledge.
They're hungry for that knowledge.
And I think it's really cool that we're taking the time to be like, all right, here we go. Let's do it.
So you'll be looking into the Ark of the Covenant, but you know, feel free to join if you especially want to learn that lesson. That is one of the topics I'm looking to cover. So,
I feel like most of our friendship, Adam, kind of started from that dynamic of like, I mean, you would ask me questions about users, but I would be like, what's a Googleplex?
Yeah.
Which is a math thing and has nothing to do with our work. And, or like I had heard about it and I was like, did you know about this? And you're like, of course. And then like you would explain things that were totally over my head and it made sense in the moment. I could never explain it to anybody again.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting. And
I think you've retained some points too. I don't, you know, you should give yourself some credit.
Usually the ones with bad metaphors, but yeah.
He does love a good bad metaphor.
Yeah.
Like metaphors is for sure one of your strengths.
Thank you.
Like,
I think one of your strengths in general too is.
Oh, hold on. My wife's going to brag me up, everybody.
Nepotism alert.
Is being able to take complex stuff though and kind of like dumb it down, for lack of a better term, to being digestible. Yeah. Because I think there are a lot of things, especially once you start talking like high level, like programming, mm-hmm. that I would be like, okay, I'm tuned out. Thank you. Bye. Like, but I do think that that is like a unique skill set that you have. So I do appreciate that you're always willing to be like, okay, yeah, let's do it. I'll tell you all about this random thing that you have questions on. So.
And it's not even in like a condescending or mansplaining way.
I never.
I don't know how you achieve that.
Actually. Well, I think that maybe my background is what helps me avoid like the condescension sort of thing, because I also learned a lot of this stuff on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't think of myself as an unintelligent person, and looking at the two of you in this room, one of you would call me unintelligent, but not jokingly, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally like, joke.
But yeah, as far as that goes, I hadn't learned all this stuff on my own. And so like, I never look down on anybody who's interested in this stuff, because I don't think any bit of knowledge is out of anyone's reach. It just might take a while for an individual to understand whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I always try to like look at it through that lens. And I think that actually helps me have that patience that sometimes people lack to explain this highly technical stuff, especially when you're stressed and you have a lot of other stuff going on and like, you don't want to take that time, but I think it's critical.
Yeah. I think the workshops are going to be super exciting this year.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, those sound so like tangibly practical. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not the other ones haven't been, but like, I don't know. I think that's great.
So just to make sure that it doesn't appear that I'm taking credit for these sessions, I'm helping a group of individuals put these sessions together. One of which, who put together the workshops we were just talking about, is Jennifer Tran.
I knew as soon as she joined, I was like, we're going to steal her to do this session. 100%.
For sure.
And Lauren, there was a change recently in how we did, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but there was a change in how the topics were chosen. And either it was like before the speakers could choose their topics, or before we chose the topics and they could pick which one.
So it's a little bit of both before that. We do a survey and we do ask people like, hey, would you like to speak next year? Is there a topic that you'd be interested in speaking on? And people fill that out mm-hmm. and they send it back to us, which is really great because we love feedback. So mm-hmm. please find me if you want to give it to me verbally in person. I love that too. But when people fill that out, they sometimes will say, hey, I really want to do something about materials, or I really am strongly passionate about lights and I would love to do something about that. We also have a list of topics just from, I think, training and seeing the kind of questions and things that people are asking through the year that we keep pretty meticulously to make sure that we're understanding what people are wanting more knowledge on. There's also several Q&As that happened each year mm-hmm. and trainers will do like a Q&A with the community that we have. If you are not familiar with those, make sure you check out the new academy. Slight plug for that. So you can find those. They're free. So you can go. You can ask any question you want to any trainer. So,
are those like better attended? I feel like we started those when I was in training and not a lot of people showed up.
I think it depends on the month, honestly. Okay. And it depends on the trainer. I think some people attend based on, oh, I really like this person. I want to go hang out with them, because that's sometimes what happens. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a month to month kind of wanes and you know, that kind of thing. But we keep lists all over the place. So what we did this year is Jennifer took a look once we started getting responses back for people who wanted to be a speaker. And she reached out to a couple of people within the community as well. And she started saying, okay, so this is what you're thinking. Tell me about what that looks like to you. And really had her break it down. And then she said, we also have this topic to a couple of people, and really kind of floated it to them. This is something that people want to hear. Would you, mm-hmm. I think you would be great, talk about this. So that was part of the kind of idea this year. And I think it worked out really well. We do want to avoid having like 17 sessions about Photo Lab. People love rendering. So we tend to get a lot of, I really want to talk about mm-hmm. editing and photos. And I think that's super great. And I love it as well. But we have to diversify. We have to make 100%. Sure we're giving a good kind of cross-section of the things that we can cover, and not just CET related either. Things like spec, we really want to talk about, get people, you know, understanding what is a print template. How can I create this? What can I do to make it better? What are some tips and tricks in spec to, you know, convert things from CET to spec if they have both? And, you know, adding in things like Align will start mm-hmm. coming as well once we get into that.
Yeah. You've talked a couple times now about like the surveys and getting the feedback.
Yes.
And of course, my UX research, heart just loves that you guys incorporate that feedback. And, at our last event this year, that was for like our partners and stuff, you had, we started using this new app and you could give feedback directly on the sessions in the moment. And, so how is that like, affected, you know, the amount of feedback, the quality of the feedback, like have you found that to be versus just like one survey at the end of everything?
I think this year will be a testament to how that works. So what Audrey is saying is that we have a new event platform, mm-hmm. which we're very excited about. So we've leveled up in a lot of ways. One is the website looks so much cleaner and better and much more easy to navigate. But there's also a new event app that we will now have. So once you get your tickets, you can download the event app, which is just the Excel events app. I'm sure that they'll put a link somewhere.
We can definitely put a link in the Audrey's favorite word, doobly-doo.
In the doobly-doo. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that conversation.
Oh my gosh. It's like the pilot. Killing me.
Was it the actual pilot or was it the pilot that we tested and realized it was horrible?
The actual pilot. I said something about putting it in the doobly-doo and then you said, oh, that's now my least favorite word.
Oh. Oh yeah. When we were doing the survey. Yeah. Man, yeah. I need to re-listen. Just kidding. Probably not going to do that.
So yeah, we'll put a link somewhere for you guys to have access to it. But the app is going to be the hub for everything this year. We're going to have all of the schedules on the app. Spoiler, we will not be printing schedules. We're going full sustainability and green this year. So we will be relying on the app and some digital screens throughout the event center to be able to, you know, get you your schedule needs. You can also save seats within the app per session. You can do that on the website as well, which is really great because you can build your schedule that way, like your own mm-hmm. personal schedule. And within there, there's also maps and things. But one of the really, really cool things that I am so excited about is that we can offer things like surveys and gamification. So the gamification is built into the app, which is basically we're going to make challenges and people can compete for points. And there's leaderboards and, you know, all these really cool things that are within there. And one of the challenges is going to be to fill out your session surveys. Each session is going to have a unique QR code. And the speaker at the end is going to say, here's my QR code. Tell me how I did. And you can pull out your phone and go to the app and scan the code. You can also go right to the web page and there will be a handy dandy little link there as well that says fill out the survey as soon as the session is done. And you can give us some real time feedback. I know it can be kind of difficult, you know, 2-3 days after you went to something to mm-hmm. sit down and say, okay, what did I like? What did I not like?
What was this? There was something that happened then.
Yeah. What exactly was it? Yeah.
Well, and I know like the old surveys would have like, you know, were there any sessions that stood out or something? And it's like,
yes,
the game
maybe
show.
Always the game show, obviously.
No, seriously, there is a lot of feedback that the game show stuck out to people, but that makes sense, right? That's the one of the unique sessions that happens.
It is very unique. Yeah.
So this is a good way for us to say, hey, let's grab your feedback right now.
Yeah.
Before you move on. To start thinking about something else. And it's going to be very, very short, like 3 questions. Give it a star rating. Give us a little bit of feedback if you have it. What did you like? What do you think you would like to say? You have any other additional comments? So that we can start to understand each session a little bit better. We don't always get feedback every single session. And it's helpful for us because the more feedback the community gives us, the better experience we can create for you. See what I did there?
Experience.
So fill out the surveys. They're so important. And also while you're filling them out, it's not just for us, it's for you because we are going to have prizes that you can win. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a first, second, and third place for who filled out the most surveys.
Or got the most points,
You know, got the most points. It's going to be based upon that
a
metric.
Few factors, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have, you know, some levels and some tiers and things like that. But I have some really cool prizes planned. Some of them are, you know, configure a swag. Some of them are fun tech gifts. Mm. I don't know, maybe some AirPods. that's being thrown around. Some other cool things. We were looking at an Ember coffee cup.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
We have some cool swag things planned that you can win. Whatever it is, it will fit in your suitcase. I absolutely promise you. You can take it right smart. There. Very I won't smart. Make it like a giant, like bookcase or something crazy that you
not
have
like
to.
Like one of the little whale chairs from Sunan that I really want.
I want one too.
And they sometimes have them at our events and I just want to take them, but it can't fit in my suitcase. And also.
They will be raffling one this year. Ooh. So if you want a whale okay. chair,
am
then
I allowed
they will
to
ship
enter?
It to you. They will ship it to you like
I don't
right
think
to
you're
you.
Allowed to enter.
We are not allowed to enter, Audrey. I ask them every year, can you tell me how much it is? And I try so hard to justify like why my kids need it. But really it's for me. Right. And I know that. Like I'm fully self-aware.
Nerd alert!
So what are we doing this time, Audrey?
Well.
Oh, wait, hold on. How are we going to, is it welcome to your weekly Nerd Alert? Is that how you do it? And then just now, literally 5 minutes ago, we decided that it would be awesome for bonus episodes when they do come out every once in a while to feature Audrey doing a Nerd Alert instead, because I'm not the only nerdy one in this group. I refuse to believe that.
No.
But what Audrey.
Just different nerds.
Yes, exactly. Audrey's very nerdy about subjects that I care little to nothing about in some cases. So speaking of subjects I care little to nothing about. What I would like Audrey to talk about for the next 2 minutes is why Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is her favorite musical.
Heck yeah.
Are you ready, Audrey?
I think so.
3, 2, 1, go.
I love Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. One of the main reasons is because it's really fun to say. I actually love saying the really long, full titles of musicals every time I say them. For example, there's a show called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. And every time I talk about it, I have to say the whole thing because I think it's funny. That's one reason. Another reason.
This is going well.
Thank you. Another reason is I grew up on it. There's the nostalgia aspect, of course. I've seen it now 11 times, I think. The last time being with Lauren in it, which was amazing. I also love it because it's just so goofy. Like, every song basically is kind of a, I don't know if spoof is the right word, but kind of like a jokey take on a certain genre. There's like a Calypso one, there's a French cafe whiny one, there's a Western one. So it's just like lighthearted and goofy. How much time do I have left?
You have 48 seconds.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. What else do I love about it? Well, the two main characters, there's Joseph, obviously, and his Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But there's also a narrator. And I don't always love like a narrator trope in general, but I love this narrator. She's just got such a good like range. She's funny, powerful, like just awesome. It's like one of the best roles ever in the world, I think. Joseph is actually my dream role.
10 seconds.
So there's that. Oh, now I'm like, on
five.
So much pressure. How four, do you do this?
Three. Two.
I love Joseph.
or whatever.
Oh, or whatever. Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, Audrey. Well, thank you for that. You did not make me like musicals anymore, but I still appreciate your efforts.
Well, I feel like we should do a reverse one now where you talk about why you hate it.
Oh, okay. Sure. We can do that for the next one.
Okay, perfect.
I did want to ask you about one other thing, one other aspect that I actually feel like changed a lot last year, which was the awards.
The awards. Mm-hmm. The Configura Awards?
The Configura Awards, yes.
The prestigious.
Yeah, the prestigious ones.
Yeah. They are. Have you seen the trophy? It's really cool.
The trophy is way big.
It is amazing.
Will it fit in a suitcase?
Yeah, somebody told me they did have to like have it as their carry-on item last year. They are very large.
Yeah, they were a little bigger, I think, than we were anticipating.
But we did ship a couple of them for people that were like, I don't know. So.
Yeah, if you do win the award and you don't know about how you're going to get it home, we want you to feel like you'll get it home.
Yeah, so. We'll help you get it home. I promise.
Just leave it at the resort in Florida forever.
Yeah, we'll find us at the help desk. We'll help you figure it out. But yeah, the awards, we went through like a revamp of the awards. That's one of the things I think that we've improved over the years, like looking especially at things like feedback from you guys to kind of tie it all together. But the structure of the event overall, and I'm including the awards, I think, in the structure. It used to be we kind of go into a room and we sit there and we watch a movie, and all of the acceptance speeches are, you know, up on the screen, whether or not people are actually in the audience or not. And I kind of was looking at it, and I was like, you know, I'm not really sure that I love this, just in general. And then we saw some feedback that was like, it was really kind of tiring, and I wanted to fall asleep. It wasn't really very, and I was like, okay, let's see what we can do to, like, be more intentional about how we structure this. And one of the things that, like, kept coming to my mind was, why don't we do it like a live award show? Like, this is our Oscars, for lack of a better, you know, or different award. So let's make it like the Oscars. And that was really kind of what we strove to do with, is that a word, strove?
Strove, I think so.
Okay. That was really what we decided to do. And I think it worked out really well. We did get some good feedback that people liked that. They were encouraged, you know, by the fact that we were really there to celebrate them. Because for the awards, we do, we want to celebrate all of the accomplishments and all of the amazing things that we see that are coming from our users, that they're out there in their, like, everyday job creating. It's unreal, and it's so cool. I am a huge fan of just watching everybody. And last year we did live acceptance speeches for the people who were there.
I think there was a couple of people surprised by
that. They did have a heads up. They had a heads up that if you win, you will give a speech. But I think it made it so, like, kind of, like, moving to watch, I think, from the audience. Yeah. Because people were so emotional about the fact that they just won, you know, this really cool trophy.
I mean, like, I teared up.
I did a couple of times.
100%. Yeah.
I might have cried once or twice. Yeah. And
I'm like, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it was so sweet.
Well, it was funny to me because...
And, like, Stephen Dunn cried, which I loved because he is one of my favorite people.
He's a very passionate person.
He's so passionate. Yeah. And, like, it was just, oh, it was so cute.
We may not have him on the podcast upcoming, too.
It really was, like, you know... Like watching the Oscars where the whole team of the movie for Best Picture comes up and they're just like crying and hugging each other. Great. It was so,
like,
cute.
I actually felt a little bit weird because, like, the Oscars, they have, like, a lot of joke, you know, like, things that happen before the actual award gets awarded. And Eric Hinkle, my former boss, and I, we were going to be paired up to...
You guys were my comedic relief.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were the comedic relief pair. And, like, I just got done kind of being like, wow, that was really moving. And it's like, oh, gosh, now I got to go up there and be a clown for a couple minutes. Felt a little awkward. But, hey, we made it work, I think. We got to laugh. So I think it's all good.
We had a lot of sponsors as well that were presenting awards, which... I loved.
That was a really cool thing.
Our sponsors are so important to this event. Shout out to every single sponsor for experience this year and in years past. I tell them anytime I email them how much I appreciate their dedication and their continued participation to this event, because it is so important. And I know that the users, especially, and the attendees really appreciate you guys being there. Mm-hmm. So for us to be able to put them up on stage, if they want, some of them are like, I'm good. I don't really want to speak in front of a bunch of people. But it's really, really cool for us to have them be the ones that are presenting some of these awards. I think it means more coming from them than it would, you know, from necessarily coming from, like, me. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I really love. And I think that we took that ball and we kind of ran with it. We have some more fun, you know, surprises with that this year. We're going to keep working at it until we get it, you know, 100% right. But hopefully everyone that liked it last year, you know, tells us they liked it again. Hopefully we don't screw it up. And shout out to Julie Hart, who is the coordinator of the events.
You probably saw her giving away awards last year.
You probably saw her giving away awards, yes. And she has done such a great job with this. Yeah. She came on last year. It was her first time doing it. And she was like, I don't really know exactly what this is, but we're going to dive in and we're going to do it. And, you know, I helped her, of course, but she took a huge amount of that and really ran with it and did a fantastic job. Yeah. So she's doing that again this year. And, of course, we still have Curtis. We were never going to get rid of Curtis. He will always be involved. And last year we brought in Allie, who is the manager of user support.
Also Curtis's boss.
Also Curtis's boss, yes. And I thought they had a good dynamic.
Yeah.
And they did some really fun stuff. So we have a couple of, like, silly little things planned. Configura, we are inherently a little bit silly. So that aspect will always be part of the experience in some way, shape, or form. We'll try to, you know, keep it to a minimum in certain areas if we can.
Yeah. I think we did, I feel like last year, and I think even more this year with, I've just been hearing like some brainstorming going on of like, oh, we could do this, we could do that. And I feel like it is a good mix of like classy and serious and like prestigious.
Yeah.
With the configure of fun thrown on top of it. So it's not, I mean, like, you know, I love the Oscars, but there is a point where it gets really boring.
Yeah. Like we're the sound mixing. We're not going to bring out the guy that's like the head of the thing to talk for 20 minutes about the voting process.
Like, probably not like an in memoriam.
No, we're also not going to do an in memoriam. Yeah. Although, like, it would have been really funny if we did it for Jack last year, but.
Oh, that would have been good. Oh my gosh. That would have been great.
That's not the only like fun ceremonial thing that we do. We also have the opening ceremony every year that we do. Previously, that's been like more video oriented as well. And this year, once I started planning, which was like January, because I turn around and I come back from Christmas and I'm like, okay, it's time for experience again. It never ends. It's all year.
Yeah.
I started thinking and I was talking with my bosses and I was like, what if we did a live performance?
Well, why would we do a live performance? Do we have any talented like people that would help with that?
We do, in fact, have several talented people. I don't know how many of you know Erin Corral.
She's the woman that typically gives the keynote speech.
She gives our keynote.
Often has blue hair.
Often
hair
of various
hair of many colors.
Loves many Star colors. Wars. She will talk your ear off about it for about 11,000 years.
Yeah. Her entire wardrobe has some...
She will always be wearing something Star Wars.
Something
always.
With Star Wars.
She already told me her really dress subtle. This year for the keynote has a Star Wars, like, reference to it. And I was like, I love that. That's
They're amazing. Sometimes subtle.
Sometimes
but, like,
very subtle.
If you look closely.
You'll find it.
I actually
you will
won't
find
forget. It. This isn't quite the Star Wars one, but she had a Doctor Who dress and it took me forever to figure out that there was a TARDIS on it. The police box thing, the blue police box.
Can we make that one of the gamification things in the app?
That, that oh my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
if you can.
Find Aaron's subtle nerd wardrobe.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She would love that.
I love
she
it.
She would love being all day.
She would absolutely love that. I'll talk to her about it.
Yeah.
But that's she amazing. Is an incredibly talented pianist. She actually went to school for classical piano. That was one of the things her and I bonded over because my degree is in vocal performance and musical theater. I went to school to study opera. That's what my degree is in. So I was like, oh my gosh, another music degree. That's so cool. How did we both end up here?
I love how many people come from totally different, like, educations and backgrounds.
Yeah.
You're like, how are you here?
Yeah.
We have a couple of very talented people that are kind of within like our office and the configure offices in general, not just in the States, but like overseas as well. We have some really talented people. So I may or may not be collecting those people like Thanos collects, you know,
Infinity Stones.
And coming up with, you know, some kind of entertainment. A Broadway-esque.
Would you consider the entertainment magical in some way?
I would consider it to be very magical in nature.
Mm.
And considering like my background is in singing, I was like, well, I mean, I know I can count on me to be able to do this. Hey, Erin, how do you feel about this? Hey, other person, surprise person. How do you feel about this? Hey, every configure and what if I force you to be part of this? Cause that will probably happen.
Yeah.
Nice.
Unfortunately, Audrey, who also is a very talented performer, will not be there for the opening ceremony, which did wound me greatly.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I understood cause she's going to be attending one of our close friends' weddings. I got that. But,
and I'm actually playing piano.
At the wedding.
So, it's kind of musical stuff too. So, I'll be at the conference, but I'll be getting in like late morning.
Yeah. And doing the game show later that afternoon.
Oh, is that on the first day?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Oh, this is, I knew it was a little different because we usually have it like at the same kind of like block of the conference. So I knew we were mixing it up. I haven't looked at the details.
Those ever so important sponsors that we were just talking about.
Yes, our sponsors. We have so many amazing sponsors that what we decided this year was they deserve to have Thursday be their morning, their day. So we thought, okay, there's all these sponsors that would love to attend things like the game show, that would love to go to chat with programmers, but they have their sessions.
That's true, yeah.
Right? And also, we know how important they are to our community. And we really think that our users should be going to those sessions instead of maybe three game show sessions. So we really want to hype them up, and we really want Thursday morning to be about our sponsors. So we shifted some things around our space this year. We have a really, really cool main stage area and some larger kind of session areas. So we were able to move things like chat with programmers, like the game show, to a different day to be able to really focus in Thursday morning all about sponsors, and then still have the game show, of course, and still have chat with programmers as well.
Yeah. And there was also some other feedback too, at least just for chat with programmers, that a lot of people had, like, there's been this sort of push and pull with chat with programmers specifically, because a lot of times when you do the three sessions, you get the same questions over and over again. Mm. And that does show that the community is concerned about a specific thing, and it helps us understand how concerned about that thing they are. However, it also kind of stinks because, like, if you get the same questions, you're not getting, like, unique questions, and you're not getting unique answers every time either. So having one session, I'm actually hoping it'll be an improvement, but I'm looking for that feedback. Absolutely. To know which way everybody feels about that. So,
and as far as the game show goes as well, like, I know that there might be some people who are disappointed because we won't have like 3 to 6 or 9 winners, but keep in mind that we do have all of these gamification challenges with so many prizes that are going to be attached. And the sponsor passport as well. We're going to have like some little prizes for this year as well for people. So don't fret about that. Like, we actually will be able to offer you more because it's only one game show.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's going to work out really, really well. And I think that Adam and Audrey have some fun stuff planned for the game show.
We have some fun stuff ideated.
Okay. but I think that their energy, like, because they know it's like one, it will be, I think you guys are going to like kill it. So yeah, you're not going to want to miss the opening ceremony this year.
Yep.
I especially think it's going to be fun. I've been working on it. There are nights when I'm sitting and I'm eating dinner and I'm like, hold on, Adam, I can't
talk right now. I have to write down this idea.
I have to do this opening ceremony task. And then it turns into what, like 2 hours? And I'm like, can you look at this and tell me, what do you think?
And as a huge fan of musical theater, I am very helpful in those moments. No, actually, it turns out I'm more helpful than one might expect, apparently.
Because you don't actually hate all musicals.
No. Whoa. Hold on. Now, don't bring up this dead dog again. Like, that horse has been beaten to death already.
I just think this is going to be a recurring theme.
Yeah, probably. Weird Al is actually one of my favorite artists.
That's what I was going to say.
And I actually have learned through osmosis, I feel like, over the years of, like, what he does right with his parodies that make them work so
Listen, well. All I'm going to say is, in planning for this opening ceremony, mad respect, Weird Al.
Oh, for sure.
Mad respect for you, sir.
Dude, I mean, I don't, like, when I was in maybe middle school, I loved Weird Al. I, like, had Albuquerque memorized and all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. What? Why have we never talked about this before? It's, like, one of my favorite songs ever. It's so good.
So good. I did listen to it recently.
It's a religion. It's a lifestyle.
Go, shout out to Albuquerque, the last song running with scissors.
Yeah. But no, like, I loved it, and I don't really now particularly enjoy, like, just auditorily listening to him, but I think he's actually a genius.
Yeah.
Truly.
In terms of, like, being able to riff off of stuff and just completely make it just work. Like, it's amazing.
If I could have, like, 17% of that.
Right? Like, just 17. That's all I need.
That's all I need. Just that.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Well,
good job, Adam.
Good job, Lauren.
Good job, Lauren.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're happy you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.